Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sports book. Make sure you download the app and use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Thursday and happy start of free agency. Hours away as we start this podcast from the Cubs officially being able to sign free agents should they want to, and we hope they do. Cody Delmendo, Ryan Herrera, Luke Stuckmeyer, that's Cody underscore CHGO, Ryan underscore A underscore Herrera, and just at Luke Stuckmeyer.
We got Jack Brown and Jeff in the chat right now.
Yeah.
Sup, Jeff.
Let's get going. Cody, I feel like you should be nervous. I expected you to have some sort of sweats, and not from the scooter ride over here. 4 o'clock Central Time, you can start signing free agents. And we've had everything from reports of John Heyman saying they're going to be the most active team in baseball this offseason, to Jesse Rogers on ESPN 1000 yesterday saying that if he had to wager his own money on the offseason will look a lot like last year's offseason or be a big splash offseason, he's leaning more towards last season.
Can I quickly pause you guys before you answer that? Ryan, could you please turn on the beautiful CHGO neon sign?
Oh, yeah, you want
There's
this
a little this? Button right there in the middle.
I got it.
Oh. Ooh, yeah.
Let there be light, chef's just kiss. Like the Wrigley lights.
That's
there it is.
Kiss.
Thank you.
Is that LED? I think it is.
Do we have to do a helicopter to put that onto the table?
This is energy-saving LED from ComEd right there.
What did John Heyman said the Cubs are going to be the most
active team.
The video was John Morosi interviewing John Heyman, and I think it was Joel Sherman,
yeah.
And basically just asking who they think is going to be the most active team this offseason. Sherman said San Francisco, which I could see, but John Heyman agreed, but also said the Cubs are going to be up there too. It's something that we've all kind of, it should be the expectation. They have a lot of money to spend, a lot of holes to fill. They have. But I guess the part that makes me more confident that they will spend money on free agents now is that the depth they've built up is all like young minor leaguers who will be cheap for years, right? Like when P. Carl Armstrong comes up, that's like 6 years of control. Brennan Davis, Canary, all those guys, same thing. That's 6 years of relatively cheap control. So if you go out and buy free agents now, when you do have to supplement them because of injuries or ineffectiveness, whatever it is, you got a bunch of minor leaguers that are going to come up and should play very well, but also be really cheap. So this feels like an off season where the Cubs, I've heard the word crossroads kind of thrown around, and it kind of makes sense. Like it is, it's an off season that they should maybe don't go all completely in to try to win the World Series next year, but you should plug up some of those holes that, you know, are going to make you uncompetitive or less competitive than you want to be.
Agreed. Jack Brown saying that Jeff Passan said the Cubs will be one of the 10 big spenders on the offseason. Now, that's slightly different than the Heyman thing, which reads they're going to be one of the most active teams this offseason. And you can
also makes me feel better.
But you can play on words.
That it's Jeff Passan saying
he can play on – Heyman can play on words with that either way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are being active. We're hearing reports of they're talking to everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking to Abreu today. They talked to Boris, who is Correa and Bogarts.
Rodon,
Mancini, Rodon, like going on down the list. I hope they're covering all their bases and talking to all those guys, but that doesn't mean they're going to sign them. Now, active could just mean yes, they've been very active at the GM meetings, mm-hmm. doing their due diligence, talking to guys, seeing what's out there. Mm-hmm. I'll consider them active when I see free agents signed and saying Chicago Cub next to the guy's name and someone holding up a jersey. That's what I consider active.
Absolutely.
Just chit-chatting in the bar at the GM meetings in Vegas with a couple of Bud Lights or whatever. That's not active. That's just having a beer in a bar.
I mean, that sounds fun, though. I wish I was doing that.
Sounds like a vibe.
Yeah.
someone, I can't remember who it was, made a good point. Oh, Ken. He said Cubs were in the top 10 in spending last year, which is true.
Yeah, but they spent.
But they spent money on.
But nobody wants to be top 10 either. Top five.
Well, top three. Well, that's the thing is like you could say top 10 and they could spend. I mean, they spent money on Seiya and Stroman, and when Jed talks about intelligent spending, those are two things you can point at. But then they also spent a lot of money on Band-Aids, pretty much. Wade Miley and Drew Smiley, if they don't come back, they are 1-year guys. Some money on veteran relievers. And they spent a lot of money, but it didn't make them any more competitive. So to say they're going to be in the top 10, they have to do that well. They have to spend that money that they're going out there. That has to be going towards guys who are actually going to help them win. It can't just be another stopgap.
Right.
Plug them and play them because you don't really have much else and you're just trying to see what you have this season. Like, next season can't be like that anymore.
So how about this? I know how Michael Collada would answer this question, but if you had to guess right now.
So they were 14th in spending, I think, by the way. They weren't top 10, but they were top half.
They were in there.
They were
top
half.
15. There you go.
If you had to put your own money on it on DraftKings, Cody Ryan, and you had to bet that the Cubs would be more like the Rangers last year, $500 million for like three players, or more like the Cubs were last season with Stroman and Seiya and some other fill in the guys in the bullpen, Yan Gomes, which side would you lean toward? The $500 million or they did spend money, but they didn't add any superstars?
I would lean to, I mean, I don't know about $500 million, but I would lean that they're going to do something like what the Rangers did last year in terms of spending money, at least. That's what I lean to.
And if they don't?
If they don't, then I'll be outside the marquee with a big picket fence sign or whatever.
That's what I'm worried about.
Along with the rest of Cubs Twitter.
Because he's serious.
Well, you know, I've gone over the reasonings before. I mean, someone in the comments said earlier, already in the show, you know, lowest ticket sales since 1997. Marquee ratings down. Like, those are two reasons alone. And if you really want to go back to what things that Jed Hoyer has said, after the deadline in 2021, he said that this rebuild wasn't going to be like 2012, 2013, 2014. So we got this year, or this past season, that's 1 year where, you know, they were exploring or retooling or whatever, revamping the roster. No one had high hopes about this year. Everyone was like, if everything went right, maybe they could be in the wild card chase. Not everything went right. So if Jed still feels like this isn't going to be a three-year rebuild, then the Cubs need to spend some money this offseason. Like, that's like those three reasons. What Jed said after the 2021 trade deadline and the two other reasons with the ticket sales being down and marquee being down.
How about what the Fish Slayer is saying on the chat on YouTube? His dream offseason would be Abreu at first, probably with Mash Mervis, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Turner or Correa at short, and Senga as the front line or addition to the rotation. Would that make you happy this offseason if they were able to pull that off? As a Cubs fan, I would say yes, just based solely on Correa or Turner.
Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
You're spending big bucks.
Although
Turner has been, according to John Morosi, the top suitor is now
Phillies.
The Phillies. Are you kidding me? How much money do they have?
Yeah.
Well, their farm system stinks, so they have to continue to spend money.
It's just another example of, like, when you get to free agency and you can have all these, like, oh, Cubs should be in on this guy, should be in on this guy. There are 29 other teams. Like, there are going to be suitors for every free agent out there. And the Cubs, and we've kind of seen where, you know, again, intelligent spending, and there was a quote, I think it was, I forgot who put the quote out there. It might have been Scott Boras. Talking about, or whoever it was, talking about basically like if you are rational about every free agent, you're gonna finish third for every free agent, whatever. I don't know who put the quote out there, but I saw it on Twitter, and it's just kind of funny to me because if the Cubs aren't like, if the Cubs, they may have to get into like into what's it called, big battles, right? Bidding wars. They may get into bidding wars for some of these guys they want, and if they're not willing to be at the top by the end of it, they might lose out on you know, Correa and Turner and Bogarts and Swanson if he ends up leaving Atlanta. Like, it may come down to bidding wars, and if the Cubs are not interested in winning those bidding wars, then you kind of lose the offseason.
Yeah.
For some of these guys, at least.
Someone in the chat's asking, I think it's RWB team, the person who started calling Luke Steve.
Throwback.
Throwback. If you know, you know. He says, would you guys call it a fail if the Cubs don't sign one of the top shortstops? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It would be an absolute fail.
Unless.
Absolute fail. No, there is no unless.
Well, there are two unlesses.
Well, there are two unlesses.
I doubt it.
And if you convince me right now. If they traded for Shohei.
Well, there's one.
Or if they signed Judge.
Okay. Well,
if they went pitcher heavy and got you DeGrom and Verlander.
Fine.
Well, I'm going to go out and be...
There are possibilities, but 99% of the possibility would be, yes, it would be a failure.
I'm going to say my unless is it comes out later on reports are that the Cubs were the highest bidder for any of those guys, and then they just didn't want to come to Chicago. And that's a different indictment on the team, not that they weren't spending money. That's a different indictment on guys not wanting to be Cubs. Right. That's a whole different story.
If that were to happen, then the problem is then they should have way overbid on one of the guys to lock up Correa or Turner and say, okay, we're giving you $30 million more than these other teams will, and you're going to be the Lester to draw in other players that we want.
Yeah.
I think it does. There's a lot laying on those.
There are. No,
you mentioned Judge. The Cubs haven't been linked to Judge
at all. No.
DeGrom and Rodon. It looks like the Rangers are kicking the tires on those guys as far as rumors today. Like, if one of those four shortstops are the only thing, truly, that has been linked to the Cubs all year. And if they don't get one of them, I'm going to be outside the marquee rioting.
You mean
everybody thought
Bryce Harper was coming here? Because if they end up with...
No one really thought that was going to happen.
People did. He named his dog Wrigley. Abreu, let's throw out a scenario. Abreu at first.
Okay, maybe.
Kiermaier in center, and Senga is the pitcher they add. Are you mad about the offseason?
Kiermaier, Abreu, and Senga?
Yeah. Abreu, Kiermaier, and Senga. I'm frustrated
because it feels like last offseason.
I would say frustration.
It would be very similar to last
offseason. It wouldn't be the worst thing to happen, but it would be
better.
I would be very frustrated.
It would be a good offseason as far as just like kind of plugging some of the holes again, but you're not locking down one of those superstars at that point. And that's where it's like, that's where I think the frustration would come is like they could have, they should have done more, you know? There were other guys out there that they could have gotten. And do they probably make intelligent deals? I mean, again, it's like 2022, like getting Seiya and getting Marcus Stroman, which are good deals and should work out, but you're not bringing in superstar players,
right?
That you have a proven track record of being superstars.
You can say Abreu is that guy, but Abreu's older. He's 36. He didn't have a great year last year.
I also don't know why Abreu would want to come to the Cubs if they ended up with just that, unless he genuinely just cares more about living in Chicago than winning
in the city, man.
Hey, I
got to
tell you, I hate moving. It's the worst.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I thought you would think the guy would want to be on a winning team.
Luke's been all over the country. He knows what it's like to move.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I get it. Like I've moved a lot too, but I'm not a professional baseball player and I don't make millions of dollars and like
I feel like they have movers, don't they?
But at that point, it's also
and also doesn't he care about his legacy just a little bit?
Is Abreu going to get more money elsewhere than he is probably going to get from the Cubs?
Is he going to get ten more million? He was just willing to go live in Minnesota.
Yeah, is he going to get $10 million more?
I was watching MLB Network last night, and one of the guys on their broadcast said that Abreu would be a great fit with the Marlins. They have all kinds of money. I know that they don't spend money, but like they need offense. Like he actually
is that any different than going to the Cubs? Then
that team is at a better spot than the Cubs right now.
But the Cubs have a lot more money to spend. Like they have,
you're
the
right.
Cubs. They would have to offer more money. They could be a playoff team next year. I mean, he's gonna be a good fit with a lot of teams. Is my opinion. Jose Abreu. Just the leadership.
I just don't think
if
Abreu signs, say Abreu is the first one they sign, as soon as free agency starts, but then the Cubs don't do much to improve the roster, like and do exactly that. Like I don't know how he feels about going into next season now, and he probably might even regret it. Like I don't know. Like I just feel like he would only sign with the Cubs if like they convince him that they're trying to. Like really be a playoff team next year.
Yeah, like even
I'm sorry, yeah. Senga and Kiermaier and him just don't move the needle.
No, they make them better. I guess that still might make
it. That might make them a wild card team, maybe.
If your young guys continue to trend right,
mm-hmm.
and Narvaez or somebody is your catcher, whatever, and maybe Smiley comes back with Senga, you've made the team good enough to probably hang around for a wild card spot if everything goes right in the season. But it's not what the fan base is looking for after rebuild time and not having star players. They are looking for a superstar player to cheer for.
If Christian Hernandez was ready next year or in 2 years, maybe. Like, maybe I could get over it. But Christian Hernandez is not going to be ready until 2025.
Did he play?
He played in rookie ball this year.
He didn't play A-ball this year.
He didn't even
play
at Myrtle Beach this year.
And he's like the number three prospect.
Yeah, I read that it wasn't the leap that some people were maybe hoping for this season.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't.
Not that it was bad. It just
wasn't
a leap.
He's like 18 years old, 19. It's not like he's Bryce Harper going to be up here at 19, you know what I mean? Like, the guy will probably be at Myrtle Beach next year, and he'll probably spend the entire year there unless he's like PCA and just blows everyone out of their minds.
And you also cannot, like, while everybody is saying Seiya Suzuki will certainly in year two in the same country and in Major League Baseball and being more comfortable in the things they're confident he's going to work on this offseason, you can't bank on Seiya Suzuki going from good guy to
great
superstar right fielder who's an all-star. Like, that's a leap.
You're a huge leap.
It's a huge leap. And so,
however, they are paying him to potentially be someone like that. So, like, I think there's some give and take with that. Like, we should expect, and the Cubs should expect Seiya to get to perhaps an all-star level type outfielder.
And one of the
they're paying him to be someone like that.
One of the things the front office always says is, like, development's not linear. And that comes with a guy coming from Japan and, you know, being a pretty much a 27-year-old rookie in major leagues for the first time. And you saw it last year how, you know, his ups and downs in 2022. But if you start seeing, like, a consistently upward trajectory for Seiya, like, you can have some confidence that he'll eventually, you know, hopefully not too late, but will reach that kind of all-star caliber player. But you need to see it, like, right off the bat. You need to see him, like, keep trending up, maybe have a little dip in there, but for the most part trending up because, yeah, like you said, you basically paid $100 million to get him to Chicago when you take the posting fee into account. So he eventually needs to be that
all-star player. I think all signs point to him being able to be that. I mean, he went through those struggles, but then was able to adjust.
Oh, his
and he ended the season really great, right?
Like, September was great. October?
I get what you're saying, Luke, but at the same time, when you're paying a guy that, like, I don't care if he's from Japan, Korea, wherever. Like, if you're paying a guy that kind of money,
he's from the U.S.
He's got to be better than just a serviceable player.
I think they're hoping it. I'm just saying you can't necessarily bank your whole season on him being your big power
booster. No. For sure.
Nico having 10 more home runs than he did this season. I like the idea of Kiermaier in center waiting for Brendan Davis. And I do like the idea of Abreu at first with Matt Mervis. And I do like the idea of Senga, all these things. But that doesn't mean they shouldn't be focused on a big-name ticket. Like, they should be focused on a big-name ticket. Will we be happier doing more post-games with games that they win if they add Abreu and Kiermaier and Senga and Narvaez at catcher, whoever it might be? Yes. But is it going to be a team that you're going to be amped like, can they take a World Series leap in the next year or two? No. Like, you're still going to need star players that you're going to have to pay for. You're not every one of those prospects is going to enter the major leagues and either A, make it, or B, be Chris Bryant in season number one, where he's like, you know, that just doesn't happen.
Right.
So now you're pushing the window even further back on this. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they're going to have to pay a big name ticket that is not on their farm system right now. And if it's not this year, I just don't know when it is. I'm not saying spend wrong money on a pitcher that you're concerned about or a player. Pick the right guy. But whether it's Turner or Correa or
Bogarts,
one of those three, go do it. You know, you also can't bank on Shohei Ohtani being a free agent.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to give whatever amount of money you're just holding out for him. So,
Well, especially now that if, like, the Angels are serious about, like, not trading him, which, again, I don't believe, but if they don't trade him, then, like, if we get to March and he's still an Angel, then I'm going to fully expect that they're going to pay him, because going to the deadline being a pending free agent, I just think that's just incredibly bad business by them. Like, a complete, disaster of how they handled the situation.
Yeah.
I see Seiya will be fine next year. I'm not saying Seiya won't be fine. I think Seiya is going to be better. I'm just saying if you're counting on him to be your superstar, that would be a mistake. Like, That would be a
that's like going
into a huge leap of faith.
That's like going into next season and only having Matt Mervis at first base. Like a lot of people have been in my mentions telling me that don't need to get Abreu. We don't need to get this guy or that guy. Like we have Matt Mervis, give him a shot. And it's like, well, the dude's gonna be a rookie.
He'll get a shot,
and he's gonna get a shot. There's a thing called a DH. Like there's. He's not going to lose his chance. You need a veteran there for sure.
You need someone that if the rookie struggles off the bat, you're not like, well, shit, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Right?
Who else do we have? Can Rivas come back and play? I mean, don't be as dumb as the White Sox sound like they're about to be, trying to figure out. They're hoping that guys are just going to magically gel next year with a new manager and it's going to fix everything and everybody's going to have career years and it's all going to work and they're not going to spend on a big name free agent. They made the mistake last year. Look at the White Sox. They went and put Pollock in right field. Did it work? No. Go spend money. At least one of the guys they get better be a big name ticket.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not happy with a bunch of BB plus guys being added. I know it'll make the team better, but I want to see an A-lister coming in this offseason.
Here's a quote. Just kind of all this talk reminded me of it. From Jed's end-of-season presser. Actually, Eugene McIntosh, who we had on the show yesterday, asked the question just kind of about, building depth and fitting the right pieces in, but also the star power of guys like Bryce Harper, Machado, Juan Soto. So basically the question was, where does, star power fit on the priority list this offseason, adding star power? And Jed's answer, kind of a typical Jet answer. I think it's a question that comes down to timing. You want to make sure that you add those players at the right time to the organization, and we have to make those decisions. There's no question that those caliber players can certainly swing a playoff series or make the difference in a couple of games to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs, but you have to make sure you sign those players at the right time. It's not so in-depth and in detail, but it kind of fits to the point where when we look at it, this is that kind of right time, right? They have
for at least one, right?
Yeah, for at least one superstar where you have you took this last season, you knew if everything fell in the right place, you might make the playoffs. Obviously it didn't, but then you had the opportunity to see what do you have in a lot of these younger players or guys that are under team control for a few more years. You got the answer with Nico. You kind of got the answer with Ian Happ. The future's still murky with him, but if they do decide to extend him, I think you can be confident that he's figured those things out and he can be at least a near all-star level player for a few more years. Saya started to answer some of those. Keegan, you at least know he's going to be a really good reliever. Justin Steele answered some of those. So
you found good answers
with some of those guys where, okay, now not all nine positions are question marks anymore. Not all, most of the starting rotation and most of the bullpen are question marks anymore. You got answers there in some form. So in this offseason, when you have fewer holes to plug and you know the other ones are filled with a lot of guys who aren't going to cost you that much money, why not go out and take a little extra of that money and use it for a free agent that can help you win next year but can also help you win for a few more years down the road?
I've seen Cubs Twitter and this chat, a lot of people saying you have to have an ace – and you have to have superstar shortstop come, and you better get one of the top guys in center field. And I feel like I'm being realistic. Like I'm being the realistic one saying, okay, give me the star shortstop or give me the ace and the guys to fill the holes. I'm not asking them to sign the three biggest guys in free agency this offseason. I'm not even saying, like, you need Turner and Bogarts. No. Like, to me, that's not even realistic. But having one of these big-name ticket guys and then a couple other Dexter Fowlers, if you will, like Kiermaier could be their Dexter Fowler. I'm okay with that. Or maybe Abreu's the short-term answer for a couple seasons at first base until Mervis can take it over, and then just like Dexter Fowler left, Abreu will leave.
Yeah, that's the whole point. It's like you're not signing Jose Abreu to a 4 or 5 year contract to be your first baseman for a competitive window. You're signing him to be a good veteran presence, still a good player for a couple of years, hopefully, while Matt Mervis acclimates to the game. And then, honestly, if Abreu, give him 2 years, he's going to be 38, wants to come back and just be maybe a DH bench role kind of thing. And he's still serviceable. Like, that's not a bad thing either.
No.
So, but at that point, it's like you are better transitioning this team from Jose Abreu to Matt Mervis. And you, I mean, Kevin Kiermaier, same way. If the Cubs went out and got him, I know the Rays just declined the option on him. He wasn't healthy last year, but he's a steady defensive glove. You hope he's in better health. You're not signing him for 4 or 5 years. You're signing him for a year, maybe two, while you can kick the brakes on Brennan Davis and Canario, let them get better and healthy in the minor leagues, or you can just spend the year with Kiermaier while hopefully Pico Armstrong is up next year.
Right.
Like, these are all different things that are just they're kind of stopgap options, but they're good options to at least take a swing on while you wait for some of these other guys to fully acclimate themselves to the big leagues. I think that's the whole main thing of why guys like you mentioned Dexter Fowler, Miguel Montero were so good at the time.
Yeah.
Because they weren't expected to be leaders for the future. They're expected to help them win now.
Yan Gomes, they already have one of those guys, right? And Darius is asking the question that we've kind of asked for over a year now, that is, if they get one of these big ticket free agents at shortstop, does Nico move to second base? And Darius, I would just say, I hope we have to answer that question. Like, mm-hmm. we're an hour and a half away, or 2 hours away from the Cubs being able to sign their first free agent if they want to, and I'm starting to get a little itchy. I'm getting a little itchy that, like, this could be last year and just be a little too vanilla with sprinkles instead of vanilla with hot chocolate and caramel and sprinkles and some whipped cream on top. Like, that's what I want. I don't want just a little vanilla ice cream with a few sprinkles thrown on it. I want the hot fudge, the caramel, and I want the topping on it as well.
Well, last year was also so disappointing because, is kind of when they refused to call it a rebuild, right?
Yeah.
They refused to call it a rebuild, and so, okay, then it's more of a retool. Like, they traded all these guys, and they're going to go out and get a bunch of free agents to replace them, and it's going to be a quick turnaround. And they didn't do that. Again, they signed Seiya, they signed Stroman, which are good signings, but they didn't do the superstar, bring in a bunch of players, and let's run this thing back. That, I think, why it was so disappointing last year. I think by now people are fine with the fact that it was a rebuild, but now you're seeing a point where this offseason could speed that rebuild up by over a year.
Yes.
And Cubs could be competitive again by next year, which in May, no one really thought that was possible.
And two of your bigger prospects have had serious injuries in the last year, and that's going to slow the process potentially a little bit, and even the trade process. And I see Bellinger coming up, but Sean was one person to put him in there. As
Koopa Scoop did.
Yeah, a lot of people saying Bellinger would be okay for a year, and I saw that a couple reports saying from the Dodgers side of it that it sounds like Andrew Friedman wants to bring him back. So maybe Bellinger's not going to be an option. Maybe they do hang on to him. So, again, that's why they're currently lining up conversations at the GM meetings with lots and lots of people. That's why you see them taking conversations with almost everybody that's been listed. That's great. I just didn't like seeing that Turner's number one destination might be the Phillies. And I was like, geez, now you're throwing the Phillies into the mix. Okay,
so really all that money.
So does that mean the Dodgers are going to get Correa? Because they're gonna outspend everybody, and then Bogaerts is just gonna stay in Boston, and then what happens?
We have Corey's tweet up there. My official stance on the Cubs offseason before free agency begins is as follows: I would like for the Cubs to sign good baseball players instead of bad ones.
Yes, but how many and how good?
Yeah,
right. Like how many and how good? Because I don't think Bellinger and Abreu and Senga pushes the needle enough.
Some interesting other news that dropped the last half hour while we've been doing this podcast. John Heyman tweeted that the Mets decided to not extend the qualifying offer to Taiwan Walker, starting pitcher.
I'd be interested.
Mets are not?
They're not.
Oh, okay.
I would be interested.
And I've been I wouldn't say I'm a giant fan of the guy, but he was someone that when the Cubs traded Yu Darvish, I was like, okay, I'm not going to overreact to this like all of Cubs Twitter did. Because I was like, maybe the Cubs will sign him. And the Mets got him for 3 years, $30 million. He's really solid for them these past couple years, 150 innings pitched both years. He had a 2.5 F4 last year. Average fastball velocity is around 93, 3.49 ERA, 3.65 FIP. He had 29 starts this year, 29 starts last year. I mean, there's a lot to like there. I think he's more of like your middle of the rotation guy. So maybe like if Senga doesn't work out.
Yeah. Would you rather have him than Senga just because you've seen him do it at the major league level?
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have him, honestly, than Senga just because then you don't have to go through that whole transition. Mm-hmm. Now, Senga might have the better stuff. Like, the people in Japan said that he hit 101 this year.
And he also dealt with a lot of stuff this year, too.
If he helps bring Shohei in a year, that...
True. I'm just saying that, like, I think Walker,
I want Shohei here.
Walker could be, a solid addition. And he's only 29. So it's not like you're getting a guy who's, like, 32, like we were talking about Corey Kluber yesterday, right?
He's even older than that, I think. Is he, like, 34 or something like that?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if the Cubs are interested. I've never seen them even, like... There's no rumor. Yeah. It was a tweet that John Heyman just sent out saying that the Mets are not extending the qualifying offer to him. So if the Cubs did try to sign him, then they wouldn't even have to give up a draft pick for him.
Is he a Boris guy? I think he's a Boris guy.
Who's that?
Tyson's first name?
Taiwan?
Is it Taiwan? Whatever.
Taiwan.
However you say it, but I think he's a Boris guy. But I know.
Isn't that a Lannister?
It might be a Lannister, yes.
Tywin.
It's when you look at all these guys, and the Cubs have to be kicking the tires on pretty much all of them. So when you see that Walker is going to be a free agent, the Cubs are probably going to inquire about him because that's, again, the level of pitcher that that's not Carlos Rodon, Jacob DeGrom level, but that's a level of pitcher that they could afford and they probably need. That kind of like B-plus-ish range, B-plus range of pitcher. And the Cubs could use another
Stroman
one.
Level.
Yeah, Stroman level. Put two of those guys on there. If you end up with, I guess the closer we get to free agency, the less it seems like the Cubs will be getting one of those Rodon, DeGrom level guys. But if you go Stroman, you go Walker, Steele, like that's a good top three. And then you try to fill out your four and five with better, maybe guys that are a little closer to three level than what your typical four or five would be. It's just where they're at right now.
Speaking of qualifying offers or non-tendering contracts, like we kind of mentioned Bellinger earlier, what did Andrew Friedman say about him?
It's just that he made some comments about him, and a lot of the Dodger reports were that people are starting to believe that it seems more likely that they want to keep him around. Like they've seen his upside.
They're hoping
that they would likely continue to roll with it. We'll see. We're going to find out.
I think it's a smart move, but I just think that...
I think they're stupid if they let him just... go.
Yeah, right, for sure. And I,
Unless
the only reason
getting,
I thought maybe it could be an idea was if they didn't non-tender him a deal. And, like, maybe, like, how the Dodgers are. They don't care about money. Like, they'll keep him and then still go get Judge anyway.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're letting him go low. But if you're in on Judge, then who cares?
Right.
I will say.
He's just going to be making a lot of money for basically being at this point, a defensive outfielder.
That's right. Well, we saw Justin Turner had John Hamm, the actor, voice over his free agency video, like kind of telling teams this is what I just want to throw out to Wilson Contreras. I could save you a lot of cash. I'll voice it over. And it might not. I'm not certainly not John Hamm, but it won't cost you anything.
Right.
So you know,
maybe you pay him.
Let me know. And I shouldn't have made the analogy to a Sunday with what I want the Cubs want for free agency. It should be more like this. Don't go get your sausage from some place in Wisconsin. Don't go get your meat from some place in Wisconsin when you can get it from a Chicago company like Green Ridge Farm.
There you go.
Green Ridge Farm, a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. Makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks. Perfect for tailgating, as we saw last weekend. We're going to see again this weekend. Happy hour, school lunches. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours, 16 grams of protein per stick, a perfect post-workout snack. They come in chicken, black forest beef, flavors like jalapeno cheddar, and spicy chili. I tried the chicken one this last weekend, really liked it. And so I'm hoping they're piling up on those for this tailgate coming up on Sunday. If you haven't tried them, you don't know what you're missing. Delicious because they are made from recipes generations in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh, flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. And right now, when you order three meat products at greenridgefarm.com, include a pack of meat sticks in your cart. Those meat sticks are going to be free. Simply using the code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat. They hooked us up for the tailgate. They delivered today. It's already in our fridge here. All the meat coming for Sunday. The tailgate, $46. Again, Michigan and Roosevelt will be there for Bears, Lions, and another big Justin Fields game. That's what we're hoping for. But the meat sticks were good. The jalapeno sausages were good.
Yes, those were delicious.
Yeah.
Meat sticks. I saw some of those coming in today. Yeah. So
I'll be there. You guys will be there.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
So looking forward to that. Make sure you get your tickets. Still plenty of opportunity. allchgo.com.
I was laughing because it looks like Cody's just sitting here drinking a beer when he's really just drinking water.
Oh, yeah.
Just liquid death.
Just liquid death.
It's just made me laugh. I don't know why.
Hey, by the way, the Cubs have apparently been looking into this because they've got new LED light bulbs up above Wrigley Field. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs that can be done in person or virtually, lasting approximately 2 hours. Within three to four weeks, customers can receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project costs, potential incentives, and a simple payback. Action items, call to action, here we go. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Or comed.com, that's Powering Biz, or get ready to sign up for a facility assessment. Call 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. You can also email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on their website, comed.com/facility assessment.
So RWB team just commented, and I was actually just going to mention it. The Cubs have until free agency starts to the deadline to reinstate players from the 60-day IL and also not have more than 40 players on their 40-man roster. Right now, the Cubs are over the limit. They have, I think they're 43.
Who's on the IL?
So it's 43. They're three players over the limit as far as 60-man or 60-day IL go. Kyle Hendricks, obviously Cody Hoyer, Alec Mills, Ethan Roberts, Brad Wick, Jason Hayward, who we already know is getting released, Rafael Ortega. But then you also have, Alexander Vizcaino? Has anything happened with him yet?
We know they're going to reinstate Hendricks and Ethan Roberts.
Did they reinstate him from the restricted list?
No, he's been on. Well, we I just know remember there was a story out there.
I don't know.
There was a story, about it. During the season, how he just didn't show up to spring training.
Yeah, that was when we talked to
the last time I've heard anything.
From my understanding, they're just going to grant him his release.
Well, that's what we don't know. So there's like six or seven players, something like that. They have to.
Dude's been off. The guy has been off social media. Like you go to his Instagram and it's completely like gone, like his entire grid and everything. I have no idea where, why, or anything with him. I assume
the Cubs are going to move on. It's fine, but it's more of has to do with the 60-day guys that they may want to keep. Kyle Hendricks is obviously one. Cody Hoyer, Ethan Roberts, those kind of guys. But then you have Alec Mills, who may not last. Rafael Ortega, who also may not last. Like, there's decisions that have to be made, and they have to be made in the next couple hours. I'm just saying there's that, but there's also, like, the Cubs aren't done. Even when they're not done, like, they have to make some moves to open up some room just for 40-man roster sake itself, but also, like,
so
they can't just go out and sign a free agent because they have to make those 40-man moves.
But those roster moves, I feel like, were the type of conversation we had to have all season last season. The conversation I want to have now is they sign Correa, they sign Turner, whoever it is. That's what I want 2023 to be about. I don't want it to be about, like, oh, yeah, we had to decide what to do with Vizcaino, and so we weren't sure what to do with Rivas.
Like, the Vizcaino situation is kind of, like, very annoying because he was part of the Rizzo trade. Thank God Kevin Alcantara has had a huge year in Myrtle Beach, but Vizcaino, he came back with high upside, too, and then didn't even play this year. Like, whatever. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, Ryan, you know how I am with this roster thing. So I'm going to ask you dumb questions here so I can make it – so I'm going to ask you these dumb questions, like, and you're going to have to explain it to me like I'm 5 years old, all right? So the guys on the IL, they have to put them back on the 40-man if, like, for them to not be, like, I don't know, released or
to be seen on the Rule 5.
Yeah, okay.
Eligible.
So obviously Hoyer, Hendricks, and what was the third one?
Hendricks, Hoyer, and Ethan Roberts.
And Ethan Roberts.
Yeah.
Those guys are definitely going to be on the 40, man. So then what the Cubs have to do now to put those three on there at least, they have to remove guys that are on the 40, man, and they're already over the limit. How many over the limit are they?
Sorry,
well, we know at least those four.
I think we know those four guys.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Was that a text about Carlos Correa signing with the Cubs or something?
How many over the limit?
There are three over the limit.
Okay.
Which includes Jason Hayward being released.
And so they're going to release Hayward, and then they're going to have to remove at least
three more.
Three more, right? So
but that could come from, say they want to keep all those 60-day IL guys. Well, then they'll have to cut people who are already on the 40-man.
Okay.
You'll finish the season healthy. Because when you're on 60-day, you're not technically on the 40-man. Like, you're off the 40-man. That's what opens up space on there. So to get those back, you obviously have to open up a 40-man spot. Whether that's just, a guy like Rafael Ortega, they may just end up releasing him. Or they may want to open up a spot and, say, release, I don't know, like a Michael Hermosillo and put him on. Just different things.
I don't even think Hermosillo's on the 40-man. They released him.
No, he's still on the 40-man.
He is, but I feel like Hermosillo.
It may not be, actually. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. He's not off. That did happen.
Okay, let's say Ortega. Whoever.
He was DFA. I think he might have been DFA at the end of the season.
I feel like if you're worried about Rule 5 draft, those guys could be made available, and you don't have to feel too nervous about, like, teams aren't going to pick up all those guys that are available for Rule 5 draft. Like, some of them are still going to find their way back to your organization.
Yeah,
so I'm not.
Hermosillo did.
Again, was I understand that is part of it. We're going to have stuff to talk about. But
those first three, Hendricks, Hoyer, and Roberts, they're definitely going to put those guys on the 40-man.
They have to.
The other guys, I mean, the Brad Wick story would have been great. And maybe once they, I guess, cut them, they can – I guess give him a minor league contract. Is that how they could do it to bring him back?
A guy like Ethan Roberts, who we know is not going to play next year, or well, he hey, I half guess of he next may. No, he probably will miss all of next year.
Even though he got hurt in May or June.
He had Tommy John surgery.
I know it's like a year, so like
certainly wouldn't be ready at the beginning of the season.
Cody Hoyer, who got Tommy John in March, isn't going to be ready till July.
Okay, fine. Continue.
So Ethan Roberts, who won't play all next year, for pretty much there's no need to rush him back. They could, do the whole thing where they don't put him back on the 40 man. I think it would be technically called like releasing, but then they could work out a minor league contract to keep him in the system where he's still here, he's doing his rehab, all stuff, but he's not in the 40 man anymore.
Okay,
that's how.
But he's a guy. If he were eligible for a Rule 5 draft, some team would be like yes.
Yeah, that's
more,
kind of
more than Ortega.
That's what they did with Hermosillo last year. He was released, I think he might have been DFA'd, but then he just signed the minor league contract with the Cubs and then came back. That's what happened with him. So that's an avenue for them to keep opening up spots, or to keep open spots for some of those guys without having to let go of all these guys they want to keep around. But again, we have a couple hours till that has to happen.
Garrett says 14 months is the timeline he's heard for Tommy John. So, and, I mean, like you said, more than a year.
There's got to be guys that are healthy that are on the 40-man that they can cut too. Like, just
– there will.
I don't have it up. You have it up. But, like, I don't think this should be a gigantic problem for them.
No, it shouldn't be, especially if we're talking about 2 hours from now. Like they have probably already kicked the tires on that and what
they're
going to do.
They probably already know, right? There's no way they're waiting until today to figure that out.
They have that decision. Right. Probably in their exit meetings they decided.
Like what they're going to do. They just have been
what that plan was.
Waiting.
Yeah. So, I don't, whatever happens with that, those are the three you know that are going to be.
I'm willing to make a 40-man roster spot for Turner or Correa or Bogarts.
Yeah.
And I'm not spending too much time worrying about it.
Well,
that's for sure.
Isn't QR is or whatever his name is. Is he on the 40?
Kiros
or whatever, yeah.
Big who you got win. That was the biggest win of the year. I got triple points for that one.
Right? Like, they can just cut him. Always be like, remembered he's been for a lifetime minor leaguer, man. Like,
Esteban Kiros.
There's plenty of guys that were on the 40-man, I'm assuming, at the end of the year that are like, okay, this guy's not going to be here. So, this shouldn't – they'll be fine.
Another thing Tom asks, have they already added the Rule 5 guys they want? They have not. I believe the deadline is, like, in the next week.
It is.
Like the 15th or the 18th or something like that.
It's a long list, but, again,
they're a long list of guys they could.
Right.
Guys are eligible. I know we're saying the ones that should be Brennan Davis, Ben Brown, and Alcantara, I think, is one that hasn't been, if I'm not mistaken. So
Rule 5 protection is November 15th.
I can look up. But those are three that, like,
so 5 days.
By 5 p.m. Eastern on the 15th.
Yeah, on the 15th. But those are guys you can, like, those are three you're like, they're probably somewhat, at least a couple of them, close to major league ready. They're probably going to get taken if they leave them unprotected. So you got to have them on there. But there are other guys, like, I remember a friend of the program, Brian Smith, had a little thread out there about Luis Devers. Wrote an article about him and his Rule 5 draft eligibility. And he's another one. He's like, yeah, he didn't really – maybe he hasn't pitched above A ball, but he's also – he was the minor league pitcher of the year in the Cubs system, a team that is not going to do anything next year. There is a possibility they would go out and just keep him on – because you have to keep him on the active roster the whole season as long as they're healthy. And they may
could
just
be
go
just
out.
Using a spot.
Yeah, they could just use a spot, see what he does. Maybe just throw him in the bullpen a few times, and then then you got what should be a good minor league pitcher.
Yeah, but, and maybe a contending team's not going to do it, but somebody like the Pirates will do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, just
some team that's not competing is like, yeah, we'll stash him for a year and use the actual Rule 5 draft is December 7th, but the deadline to then protect your guys and have that list set is coming up on the 15th.
Yeah, 15th.
So one other thing that has come out here in the last couple hours is that Major League Baseball has announced that they will have automated ball strike technology in all 30 of the AAA ballparks next season, and they will use it multiple times a week at those ballparks. So you're going to get a real good dose of automatic robotic balls and strikes at the AAA level. So just like they saw what it kind of looked like, time clock worked with, and then morphed it into Major League Baseball now coming up, the sample size will be set now at the minor league level to see what it looks like. We don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but I'm for it. Like, I know everybody I understand the crusty old people that are out there, not me, obviously, that are hardcore and want the human element and everything. I just want it to be more right. I don't need it to be, and I would assume that a robot calling it makes it faster. There's less chirping with an umpire. There's still going to be some appeals that can be done, but I don't know any umpires, so I'm not worried about them. But I'm okay with robots there. I don't need robot players, but I don't mind robot umpires.
And I do like the idea of kind of phasing it in a little bit, like not just throwing it right in there, but they're still going to have the ABS. Even in games that are called by real umpires, you have the ABS, like ball strike challenge system. I like that because I do – again, and you guys have been on a different wavelength than I've been. But when I think about it, I'm like, I like the human element of umpires getting it wrong. Like, I don't like them getting it wrong, but I like there's the ability that people make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. We're all human beings.
Grandpa Ryan.
And as much as we'd like people to not – Grandpa Herrera over here. As much as we'd like umpires to be perfect, we know they're not going to be. And I don't know. I've always liked that idea, but I also like the idea of, okay, every league has challenges to fix referee mistakes. Why doesn't MLB have that? So have the umpires back there, but then give however – I don't remember the amount of, like, challenges per se, but give
– a hybrid of what give, people
give teams
about.
The ability to challenge it. You have the technology okay for that. It, but, we don't need an automatic system calling every single ball, every single strike, the whole game. Because then, I don't know, that takes out some of the human element that I always enjoyed.
Yes, I always love yelling at umpires, and there's no better way to do it.
Just don't let it get to you that much.
I don't like yelling at umpires because I hate being pissed off.
The thing is, it happens. It mostly happens both ways.
Like, why should it have to happen that way?
Angel Hernandez calling balls and strikes for a Cubs game next year, or a robot, I'm taking a robot.
Give me a robot.
If you can have Lawrence calling balls and strikes versus Angel Hernandez in game this year,
Lawrence. They got a whole year to get it all figured out in the minor leagues and to fine tune what works and what doesn't. I look forward to them getting robot umpires, whatever.
I got 7 out of 7 when the New York Times put out that thing where it was, you could call the ball or strike. It was like a month ago. I don't know if anyone see that on the old Twitter machine. And you basically, it threw the pitch and you had to call it without seeing anything. And I was 7 of 7, unlike all the umpires who got it wrong. So, F Angel Hernandez.
I don't know. Man, I'm in the minority, but.
You definitely are. Yeah. You are. Somehow you and Luke have Freaky Friday'd, and
all of a sudden I'm in my 20s again, and I'm all for the robots. Hang on. Robots and the apps, all about the apps.
I just want them to get it right today. I'm so tired of an umpire affecting a game. So tired.
Umpires going to affect the game regardless. Like,
I don't care. Why don't we have robots
calling fouls in basketball? Why don't we have robots running the sidelines?
Well, after watching
football.
The Bulls game last night, we definitely we should have robots calling fouls.
Personal foul.
That was absolutely awful last night watching the Bulls.
It was brutal,
game.
But
I got to deal with
the NFL could sure use a few too on
absolutely
some
plays. That pass interference. And yeah, they have challenges in both those leagues and stuff, and they still can't freaking get things right. It's like, I'm not saying we need to have an actual robot out there, but they gotta do something.
Steve Reich.
Can it be the one from Lost in Space? Danger. Bitty, danger, bitty, buck,
danger,
Will Robinson.
Will Robinson. Beady, beady, buck. Beady, beady, buck.
If R2-D2 is behind the plate, I'll be fine with that.
That would be pretty sick.
Or C-3PO with just long explanations.
Sure.
I saw somebody in the chat, I'm sorry I didn't catch who it was asking just about if one of the big fish signs, are you going to have an emergency podcast? The answer is yes.
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 As long as I'm not in traffic, yes.
Luke's going to be joining remote. Whoever's not stuck in traffic,
if there is one going on, yes. Somebody will be jumping on for emergency podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was Darius. Thank you, Darius, for he's the reason I then alerted you guys in Slack. I was like, we got to figure this out. So, yeah. And the way we did this a week ago for Bears when Roquan –
yeah, they interrupted our Cubs. They took all our Cubs viewers that day.
Well, we had to do that. I'm sorry about that.
All of a sudden, they were flooded. I was like, where's everybody going?
And then Bragg's trying to tell everyone David Montgomery got
that was the next day, actually. That was a different day. So we will, and it could be a free-flowing thing. Like, if you're only available for 20 minutes, Ryan, you jump in, and then maybe Cody jumps in.
Right.
Corey could jump in, Brendan, whatever.
Son's got to do a segment, he will.
If he needs to do it.
Yeah, just like we were ready at the trade deadline that ended up not happening. We're going to be ready. We're going to be ready for this.
We will be ready to scramble the Jets with Maverick.
3 weeks from now, now that Turner's with the Phillies and Correa's with the Dodgers.
I'll be ready to do a lot of yelling. If things do not go the way that I want them to go, I'm going to be yelling a lot.
In this case, you would be happy because they would have signed a big fish.
Yes.
You could be on a scooter, there'd be a lot of yelling, perhaps.
But also, I mean, even again, if things do not go our way, then on the regular show, I'll be doing a lot of yelling. Either way, you're getting some yelling. If you like my yelling, then buckle up, baby.
Who wants to know when do you think a big fish will go? And that's the most interesting thing right now is like how fast will one of the first big names go?
We should bet on that. Like
MLB should be rooting for it all to start immediately. Like that's why people love NBA offseason. It's why people love NFL offseason is because the free agents sign. Like as soon as it opens, it's like bang, 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 bang. Like, and obviously before the lockout, we had those drawn out offseasons. It took forever for guys to sign. Last offseason before the lockout, we did have some activity early on,
Well, I know
now you got a normal offseason.
Who do you want to call big fish? Correa, Bogarts, Turner,
I think
Swanson.
Those are all big fishes.
And Judge. I think you want to make those our five big fish?
Rodon.
Sure.
Rodon, six. DeGrom, seven.
DeGrom, seven.
Yeah, Verlander, eight.
Verlander. I mean, do we think Clayton Kershaw is going to be on the market? I don't think he's ever going to leave LA.
I don't think so.
Is he going to be on the market?
I mean, you know a big fish when you see
Rizzo.
Abreu is not a big fish.
Rizzo.
Rizzo is not a big fish. It's the big shortstops. It's the ace pitchers. Those are the guys.
It's the guys that hit 62 home runs in one season.
How fast do you think the first fish will bite?
I think Swanson goes first. Go somewhere.
So first, you think it'll be Swanson?
I could see Swanson being first, but if he goes first, he's staying in Atlanta. He's not going anywhere else.
But that still would count.
Yeah, I'm saying it would still count, but he's not leaving.
But the question is who and how fast? Like, what'll be? Do you think one happens today?
I don't see any big of those big fish.
I would love for it to happen, but I don't think
it's just not usually like the not NBA one of the big free fish. Agency or NFL free agency. Yeah. Like the clock doesn't strike, and all of a sudden you have a slew of players going somewhere. Baseball's generally different. Like sometimes it'll go past the winter meetings. We've had baseball winter meetings before where it wraps up and you're like, well, that was boring. Nobody went anywhere.
Yeah. Cody, we'll give you over under 3.5 days for one of those big fish. Over or under? No, I'll give you over under 6.5 days.
Under 6.5.
Under 6.5.
Something happens in the next week.
You think
something happens in the next
You think
week?
DraftKings has those odds?
They should. If they don't,
well, like,
they
yeah, but then you're gonna have to declare one of those players, right? Like you can't just say big fish. Because yeah. It'd be a little too
It would be cool to be able to bet on where I think Swanson or Correa or whoever gonna go, and I would just homerishly just bet the Cubs on all of them because I bet the odds would be very good.
Now, the Cubs did go did strike early with Stroman last year.
Yeah, right before the lockout. Like buzzer beater.
Before the lockout. So is that the way Jed likes to do business? Strike first?
I hope so.
I guess
we'll see. You know, Cobra Kai strikes first.
Yeah.
No fear.
Realistically,
Cobra Kai. No mercy, sir.
All right.
Realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if Abreu was signed, like, within the next 3 days, like, before we do our next podcast. Well, I guess we would do – would we do an emergency podcast for Abreu?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because he's the White Sox guy.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's Kiermaier, I don't know that we –
imagine.
You know, if Kiermaier's their first signing, I don't know that we need
imagine
to
do an
emergency
chat.
Pod for that.
We might even invite Sean on for that one.
Like I'm not even
laughing to troll.
The Sox guys don't need to do that. You could have hurt. Like, if somebody stuck somewhere, you could have Herb or Sean jump in on it.
Yeah,
Abreu.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Vinny.
Anyway.
Well, Vinny's going to be on his honeymoon. He'll be out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
I guess I should read this DraftKings ad now.
Please.
Okay. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back. Yes, I lost a bet last night thanks to the Bulls. But it's back. So tip off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA Moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings up to 100% with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a stepped-up same-game parlay today. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where to go to bet on the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code CHGO. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only in DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And yesterday I said they had a promo. If you opt in, you get and you place a bet on an NBA game, you get a free bet back if that bet lost. I took the Bulls money line last night. I got a free $25 bet to use now on whatever, which is sick. Good. I just hope I win it.
By the way, real quick, I know you're going to talk shady rays here. Ken is saying Jed didn't strike early. To me, that's semantics. Like, he struck before we had to wait for that, what we thought was going to be the bulk of the players going after the lockout, which really was the case. That was kind of slow right after the lockout, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, shady rays. They never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You drop them in a lake, you drop them off a cliff, anything, and they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I can tell you holding in my hand seems just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. Free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. If you use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. It's buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs for as low as $54. Again, code CHGO. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com where you can find all their newest and best shades.
We thought we might do some report cards again today, but I have a question I'd like to ask for this final segment, last couple minutes here. So if the Cubs are making this pitch to lots of people, as you hear, they're talking to Boris about Correa, Bogarts, all those guys. Remember when D. Rose said he wouldn't recruit players to the Bulls?
Yeah.
And that Joe Kane became the guy, and that's yada, yada, yada. Who would be the Cubs player now that would actually be able to help the Cubs recruit players to Wrigley Field? Because in the past, I could only guess that that guy probably would have been Jason Hayward, just because he's respected around baseball. Is that guy now, like, does Ian Happ, because he's an all-star, carry enough clout to be like, hey, Aaron Judge, come play with me? Or is it, I don't know who the person maybe, does. Is it David Ross?
It could be. I think it might be Stroman. He may be up there.
Stroman, maybe.
Stro did a lot of recruiting for Correa last year on social media. Yeah.
But Kyle Hendricks doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to go out and be like, hey, come hang with me on Rush Street. Right? Like,
he might. I could see him, like, if he has Stroman a relationship with other pitchers, but not like a Correa, like not one of the big blue. There's no one on the team that I feel like would be able to recruit one of the big blue chippers except for Stroman, just based off his popularity around the league with the fans. And also, he's clearly has relationships with everyone around the league.
Nico is the popular guy in the fan base and had a great season. I just don't think Nico's been...
He doesn't have the pull yet.
He doesn't have the pull around Major League Baseball or the credentials to be like, hey, come play with us.
I mean, you guys are missing the main guy, though. Morel. He's always dapping up everyone. Come on.
Well, Morel's going to go out and hug whoever they're trying to sign.
As soon as they hop in the clubhouse.
There's a bro hug coming.
His is the same as like Nico. He didn't have enough pull, but... I mean, he'd be the first one to hug you the moment you arrive.
Or Wilson could have been that guy in the past, right? But, like, I just that guy doesn't seem like he's currently on the roster. Yet another reason why you need to sign a Correa or a Turner or a Bogart so that the next guy you're trying to sign, you can say, I'm here. Come play on our team.
Also, I just don't feel like there's a lot of recruiting and when it comes to, like, Major League Baseball. Like, it's not like the NBA where guys...
Banana boat.
That's fair.
Where,
that's
like...
Fair.
Like, you know, LeBron
they don't have
just,
banana boat. The banana
yeah,
boat
you know,
club.
Like, yeah, they don't, like, guys are friends and stuff, but, like, it just isn't like the NBA or even the NFL in terms of, like, player relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, the only team
Darvish
I can think.
Gave us a glowing review of his former team.
That's fair. And I know that, like, Bryce Harper, like, he did some of his own recruiting, but he's also Bryce freaking Harper. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to be one of the top players in the
league.
That's
what I'm saying, though. They don't have that guy. Yeah. So, like, if you want to start getting the next best level guys, you have to have your Bryce Harper or the Rockies. Maybe Chris Bryant does it for them now if he's healthy. Like, you don't have a superstar player that can pull in other players yet. What you have to advertise is Wrigley Field, this great fan base, and – we have a good farm system, and we're hoping we're going to build our team.
Just send them the drone video.
Send the drone video.
Done. We can do this for you.
I will sign immediately. If you
and when it's like Saya running out on the field, be like, this could be
Wrigley
you.
Field has to, like, attract people for that alone. But, Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's all about the money. So, Michael Collado, you're right. Ricketts. You're right. Like, Ricketts is the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. Like, I'm the owner, yep. And I'm going to write the big old check.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Dump trucks full of cash.
Absolutely.
Wheelbarrows.
When it comes to paying whoever, man, he is the one. Yeah.
There we go.
I just got this vision of the Cubs signing someone like Correa and Mike Dubs running down his street with the flag in his hand. And he always posts that.
He always posts that after a W.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
It's going to be a fun offseason.
I'm hoping.
I hope so.
I'm hoping we're doing an emergency podcast over the weekend for whether it's Abreu or whoever. But I'm hoping we are. Like, genuinely.
You know what would be crazy is if we're all at the tailgate Sunday and our phones start beeping and we're like, you know, Cody's 17 White Claws in, and we're like, well, what are we going
to
do now?
It looks like we're kicking the Bear show over to Studio B if that happens.
Oh.
Sorry, bro. That ain't happening.
Can you imagine? That would be a scenario that I don't need to have happen.
Yeah, no.
Like 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Definitely do not need that.
No. The donuts are still there and plentiful.
Yeah.
You might
have to live without that.
Twitter spaces for that one.
Anyway.
All right.
Hopefully, Corey and Brenner are going to do their show tomorrow. You know, maybe there's some, like, if it's not a big signing, but hopefully there's something for them to talk about in terms of free agent signing.
Mm-hmm. And when they're talking, we just bust in. It's popping up on their screen.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
What was that pop-up video? What was that, VH1?
Oh, that's a great pull there from the 90s. I like that.
If it is a big one, though, I wouldn't mind doing, like, a five-person panel and, like, you know, like, not if even if it's not a big one, but just one.
Yeah, like, it could be like a Brady Bunch thing.
Cody, it was fun. We did that with, the trade deadline special. We had five. We were going five wide. It was good. It's good times.
So, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Again, I'm excited just to see what happens. I know baseball free agency can be slow moving. Could sometimes go at a snail's pace, but there's a lot of good free agents on the market that you really don't know where they're going to go, and that's, I don't know. That always excites me.
T-minus
best case scenario, this podcast is very dated in like 2 hours.
93 minutes.
Yeah.
Until that's what we would like.
Yeah.
There
it
is.
But until then, this is the story. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings. Use that promo code CHGO when you download the app and sign up. Make sure you join us at the tailgate, allchgo.com. Tickets are $46 Sunday against the Lions, Michigan, and Roosevelt. It's a good time. Green Ridge Farm has got our fridge stocked with meats, sausages, meat sticks, ready to go. The beer's coming in tomorrow. Looking forward to all of it, and we look forward to seeing you there. Until then, or until our emergency podcast for Correa, fly the W.